Here, Doris, you put your finger on the knot while I make the bow.
Okay, Daddy.
All right, here we are. Jimmy, may I have a tag?
Yes.
Okay, here, let's see. I'll write it out now. To Mommy from Darcy and Jimmy. Well, I guess we're all finished. Say, do you know we're on the radio now?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, then suppose we welcome our listeners to our home. Good evening. This is Dick Bertel, and this is Christmas Eve, 1964. And we're very pleased to be able to share it with you. The night before Christmas, and the glow of Christmas lights warms the winter landscape. Last-minute preparations are being made. Christmas presents are being wrapped. Baked goods are being prepared in the kitchen. And stockings are being hung by the chimney with care. Here and there is the sight and scent of pine boughs, the sparkle of tinsel and brightly colored ornaments. And in the air there is excitement and anticipation. For tonight, at some undetermined moment when the children are all asleep, the gentle sound of reindeer's hoofs will be heard on the roof as a jolly old gentleman who lives up north from here makes his appointed rounds. With me tonight are my 5-year-old daughter Darcy and my 3-year-old son Jimmy, and the first portion of our program is brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Well, Darcy, what sort of preparations did you make for Christmas this year?
I helped put up the wreath. I fixed the Christmas tree. I trimmed it too, and I hung the stockings up.
Well, it sounds as though you've been very, very busy. And Jimmy, how about you? Have you hung up your stocking for Santa to fill?
Yeah.
Have you? What do you think Santa's going to bring you for Christmas this year?
A big train.
A big train?
Yeah. An engine, a boost.
A what?
A boost.
A caboose?
Yeah, my thing.
Oh, for your train.
Coal car.
A coal car.
Vuska. I show you.
Are you going to show me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, do you have some sort of a magazine or something here?
No.
No? Where are you going? You going out to the closet? What's in the closet, Jimmy? Oh, Santa Claus is going to bring you one of those, a coal car for your train. Well, that's wonderful. That's a good list. Hey, come on back here, Jimmy. Jimmy, come on back here.
Yeah.
I want to read you a story. Well, I guess we're all ready for our favorite Christmas poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. You know, this is something we do every year, and we enjoy it very much. It wouldn't be Christmas without it, would it, Darcy?
No.
Darcy, do you know how old this poem is?
No.
Well, it was written more than 140 years ago, on a night very much like this one. Would you like to hear the story of how it was written?
Yes.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking, say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that is filled with toys for the boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus,
here comes Santa Claus,
right down Santa Claus Lane.
He doesn't care if you're rich or poor,
for he loves you just the same.
Santa knows that we're God's children.
That makes everything right.
Fill your hearts with a Christmas cheer,
'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Right down Santa Claus Lane.
He'll come around when the chimes ring out, then it's Christmas morn again.
Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light.
Fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Peace on earth will come to all
if we just follow the light.
Let's give thanks to the Lord above,
'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
'Cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight, tonight, tonight.
We'll get right underway after this message from Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
We New Englanders are very fortunate to enjoy the original customs which have spread from our area throughout the American land. Whether we ourselves cling to the old-fashioned evergreen Christmas tree trimmed with strung popcorn and cranberries, or decorate our homes with more modern symbolic representations of that old evergreen, it matters not. The spirit of Christmas, whatever our means of expression, raises our hopes, lifts us above the normal cares of everyday living, and brings to our lives the true meaning of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company is pleased to take part this evening in Recollections of Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Buds, and we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas Eve again with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 49 Pearl Street in Hartford. Well, Darcy, how do you like the story so far?
Good.
Well, because of his miracles and his love of little children, St. Nicholas's reputation spread quickly throughout the world.
Why, guess who's coming? You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boyland will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And now let's get to the famous poem, Darcy. Do you know where Mr. Moore is supposed to have written it, by the way?
In his sleigh.
Well, who told you that? Well, I had heard this story too, but I wasn't sure whether it was legend or not. It was a winter's night just 143 years ago. December, and the snow pattered softly around the runners of the big black sleigh. The wind whipped around the hunched figures of two men, Dr. Clement Moore and his old Dutch handyman, Peter. Moore was tired, dead tired. He had left his house in mid-Manhattan, New York, early that afternoon to deliver Christmas presents to neighbors and friends. He had been received warmly, the visiting had been pleasant, but it was evening now, and Moore was anxious to be home. But Moore was a little uneasy about his arrival home, too. Mrs. Moore had planned a Christmas party for that evening, and Moore had rashly promised his youngsters, Margaret, Benjamin, Charles, and Mary, that he would entertain at the party with a little poem for the holiday. Moore was sorry that he had made that promise. Christmas poems were not really in his line. Dr. Moore was a scholar, a professor of Oriental languages in the General Theological Seminary of New York. Yes, scholarship was more to his taste. As for Christmas poems, well, perhaps he would have to disappoint them. Moore looked at Peter, seated beside him in the sleigh. Peter had just let out a great sneeze, and his broad face and round body shook with the effort. Peter was using an immense handkerchief to blanket his nose, which had been burned cherry red by the cold. Peter's soft beard, white with snow, bobbed as he said, "Not too long now, sir. Less than an hour, and we'll be home." And then Peter gestured toward the sky and added, "A cold night, yes, but a fine one." Moore looked up. Peter was right. A full moon was out, bathing the trees and road in light. How could I put it, thought Moore, perhaps the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. Not bad. Part of a poem, anyway. And with a kind of a grumpy satisfaction, Moore filed it away in his memory. He watched as Peter whistled and then shouted to the horse. The sleigh flew swiftly over the winter snow, but Moore thought, hardly fast enough. If only they could fly through the air, pulled by some strange creatures of winter. Reindeer would be wonderful. 8 strong reindeer. And then, thought Moore, Peter would spring to his sleigh, to his team, give a whistle, and away they would fly like, let's see now, like the down of a thistle. A mad dream, particularly since the sleigh seemed not to be going faster, but slower. "What's wrong, Peter?" said Moore. "Why are you stopping?" Peter jumped off the sled and called back, "It's nothing, sir. Only a moment. Part of the harness has come loose from the single tree." Moore watched as the old servant worked the strap back on the swinging bar, and as Peter crouched in the moonlight, the snow clinging to his beard, Moore had an inspiration. It seemed that Santa Claus was right there before him. In old Peter's face and figure, Moore sensed all the goodness and warmth of Christmas. And so Moore, working with Peter as his principal character, labored over his poem all the way back. When he reached home, he went into his study and put it all down in pen and ink. It was nothing, really, just a bit of doggerel. But Moore was certain the children would enjoy it that evening. Dr. Moore was right. As he read his simple poem, the eyes of each child shone like the lights of the nearby Christmas tree. But what Clement Clark Moore didn't know that night in 1822 was that his simple poem was destined for children yet unborn, children who would always listen with wide-eyed rapture whenever the opening lines were spoken. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. You know, that must have been quite a Christmas Eve. I mean, the first night that Mr. Moore read his poem. How do you think you would have reacted, Darcy, if your papa wrote a poem as wonderful as The Night Before Christmas?
I would say it was as good as ever.
Well, everyone in the household was surprised that Mr. Moore would write a poem about Santa Claus or St. Nicholas. He was a very serious author. I guess we're all ready for our favorite Christmas poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. How about you, Jimmy? Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
All right, let's listen.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave luster of midday to objects below, when, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away all.
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all covered with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
This first portion of our program was brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. You are listening to The Night Before Christmas over WTIC in Hartford. The second portion of our program this evening is brought to you by the Connecticut Light and Power Company. This is Dick Bertel, and with me are my 5-year-old daughter Darcy and my 3-year-old son Jimmy. And say, you know, it's getting late. It's 8:30. Time you two are in bed.
Oh, please, Dad, let me stay up a little bit longer.
Okay, just for tonight. This portion of The Night Before Christmas is being brought to you by the Connecticut Light and Power Company. Well, Darcy, do you remember when you asked me how Santa manages to fit down the chimney?
Yes.
And you were wondering about that yourself, weren't you?
Yes, Daddy.
Why?
Well, because the holes are so little in the chimney that I don't... And Santa's so big, so I don't think he can get down all kind of chimneys.
When the jolly old man with his bag of toys and his beard of snowy white stops at your house to make your Christmas bright, don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before. When you hear his sleigh bells, don't look front or back. He'll be coming down the chimney with a sack upon his back. If you wrote your letter to Santa and you're good, you'll find your stockings all filled up with the things you hoped you would. So don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney. Yes, by gosh, by Jiminy, he'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before.
Stockings all filled up with the things you hoped you would. So don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney. Yes, by gosh, by Jiminy, he'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before.
Don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before. When you hear his sleigh bells, don't look front or back. He'll be coming down the chimney with a sack upon his back. If you wrote your letter to Santa and you're good, you'll find your stockings all filled up with the things you hoped you would. So don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney. Yes, by gosh, by Jiminy, he'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before.
Christmas Eve is a special time in our house, isn't it, Darcy?
Yes, to me it is.
Well, you know, it's special in just about everybody's home, too. Now it's time that you two are up to bed. Say, would you like to wish our listeners a Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas, listeners. Mickey's listeners.
Good night, Darcy.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, Dad.
This is Dick Bertel speaking for the Connecticut Light and Power Company and wishing you a very Merry Christmas.